For any sized gift before Easter Sunday, April 4th, we'll send you my new children's book, They Shall Never Perish. You can make a secure online donation at thewordendures.org, and you can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you They Shall Never Perish.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
There's a profound truth for you. You become like what you worship.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Hosea.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. I'm sure you recall the last time we heard Yahweh's woe on the people for first straying from him, the language of adultery, then for rebelling against his rule, the language of revolt, then for speaking untruthfully about him. True, they still take his name on their lips, but he's not in their heart, and they gash themselves in rebellion against him, that is, for the worship of Baal, remember Elijah, Mount Carmel. God was the one who made them a people in the first place, but they don't return to him. Instead, they devise evil against their maker and spouse like a treacherous bow, and the result is that they will be mocked by the very ones they are looking to for deliverance, the Egyptians. Much in the same way that those snared by Satan will be mocked by him. Moving on, a reading from Hosea, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Set the trumpet to your lips. One like a vulture is over the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. To me they cry, "My God, we, Israel, know you." Israel has spurned the good. The enemy shall pursue him. They make kings, but not through me. They set up princes, but I knew it not. With their silver and gold, they make idols for their own destruction. I have spurned your calf, O Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of innocence? For it is from Israel. A craftsman made it. It is not God. The calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces. Hosea 8, verses 1 to 6. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, without your help, our labor is useless, and without your light, our search is in vain. Invigorate our study of your holy word, that by due diligence and right discernment, we may establish ourselves and others in your holy faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ready to dig into the Word of God for today? Let's do this. Verse 1, set the trumpet to your lips. One like a vulture is over the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. This prophecy probably dates from 733 BC because it seems to have as its setting the conclusion of that Syrian and Ephraimite war we've talked about before. God is speaking to Hosea the prophet and tells him to pick up his shofar, his trumpet, and sound it aloud. That is, proclaim warning to the people. And why? There's a vulture hovering overhead. You remember, they go after dead things. It's almost as though the house of the Lord, and in Hosea, that probably should be taken as the whole people of Israel, not a reference to the temple in Judah. The whole people of Israel is a corpse. What did Jesus said? Where the corpse is, there the vultures will be gathered. So their condition as dead is proclaimed by the circling carrion fowl, and the cause of the spiritual deadness is laid bare. They have transgressed my covenant, we spoke of that earlier, and rebelled against my law. The very first commandment of God was that he was the Lord their God, and that they were to have no other gods before him, or more literally, in his face. They were to have only one God, the one who is really God. Their revolt, of course, didn't stop with violations of the first commandment, but that is always the source from which all the others of the people sprang. They turned away from the covenant and the law, and so they turned away from Yahweh. And that brings a point to mind that I think we need to be clear on in our day. Sometimes people treat the faith as though it were about opinions. So you hold the right opinion, but then what you do is just a matter of inconsequence. People think they are Christians because they assent to certain propositions. But this is hugely problematic, spiritually deadly. It is, in many ways, the downfall of the Northern Kingdom. They'd kept some sort of cult attached to the name Yahweh, but basically set aside the sense of personal obedience that they owed to the one who had taken them out of Egypt on eagle's wings and given them the land in which they lived. They revolted by doing their own thing and still thinking that they were worshiping him. Doesn't work that way. Never has. Never will. Verse 2. To me they cry, my God, we, Israel, know you. Remember the point I just made. We know you. We're your people, God, right? We know who you are. We have a claim on you, hence my God. But throwing sacrifices Yahweh's way, while utterly ignoring his words and engaging in numerous violations of his commands with total scorn of them, well, that does not amount to actually knowing God at all. Truthfully, if Israel knew him in his holiness, then they should be shaken in their bootstraps and not filled with prideful complacency. St. Jerome, 4th century translator of the Bible into Latin, heard this more in the future as the cry Israel's going to make as they are carried away captive. Sort of a, wait, Yahweh, this can't be happening to us. We're your people, remember? You have to save us. But they had long since renounced the claim of being his by giving themselves to idols, as we're about to hear. Verse 3. Israel has spurned the good. The enemy shall pursue him. Always, people loved by God, always sin is a turning away from goodness. And as Jesus said, there's only one who is good, God. And to spurn him, to turn from him in the context of Hosea, means above all turning away from his true worship. The result is that the enemy shall pursue him. I think Jerome is likely right that the enemy Hosea was directly referring to was Assyria. But there's also a sense in which Assyria is standing in, as we've seen before, for Satan and for the demons. Think all the way back to that fateful moment when our first father and mother, Adam and Eve, spurned the good. They turned away from God. And on that day, God told the enemy of the human race that he would eat dust. And then he turned to Adam and said, "And you, sir, are dust." We became serpent's food in that very instant, and you can see the enemy licking his chops. Verse 4. They made kings, but not through me. They set up princes, but I knew it not. With their silver and gold, they made idols for their own destruction. Yahweh is the giver of the kingship, but Israel had long since ceased consulting him. And Pekah, of course, who had just had that war with Rezin of Syria's help, had murdered the king to take his place. And so the favor was returned. One king and prince after another got set up, but none of them done as prayerful receiving from Yahweh's hand of the man he would have rule. Instead, they invented kings and rulers for themselves, and they didn't stop with kings and rulers. They took the riches Yahweh had bestowed upon them, their silver and their gold, and they fashioned them into idols for their own destruction. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but they do not smell. They have hands but they do not feel, feet but they do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. There's a profound truth for you. You become like what you worship. And so the dead stillness of the idol is where the one who worships it lands, that is, in destruction. But the one who trusts the living God is enlivened by the life of God and becomes like him. Verse 5. I have spurned your calf, O Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of innocence? They had spurned or rejected the good, that is Yahweh. Now he spurns or rejects their idolatry. Remember, they had insisted that the calf represented Yahweh, perhaps invisibly seated upon it. But Yahweh announces he has nothing to do with their false worship of him. Instead of accepting their worship, his anger burns against them for their idolatry. Why did he mention Samaria when the calf was at Bethel? Well, probably because Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom. His question at the end of the verse is intriguing. How long will they be incapable of innocence or purity? He wasn't asking about that in their natural capacity, but in their refusal of his worship, which was designed from start to finish to deliver ritual purity to the people so that they could live with him without being destroyed by his very holiness. Purity and innocence is what he wants to give them, just like he wants to give them to us, but not in ways that we come up with and devise. Always through the very means he himself appoints and in which he promises to work. In the Old Covenant, the Levitical sacrifices, but in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, the Word, baptism, absolution, the Eucharist, in all these he promises to deliver to us the forgiveness of sins and the righteousness of faith, which indeed deliver purity before him. Wonderful gifts that our own inventions can never fork over. Verse 6. For it is from Israel. A craftsman made it. It is not God. The calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces. From Israel. That is, it was your own silly idea, never mine. And a craftsman made it. So obviously it cannot be a God, right? What can it do for you when it actually owes to you the fact that it exists at all? Are you really looking to that as to a God? Are you really that silly? That's what Yahweh seems to be crying to Hosea here. And he foretells that the calf is going to have the same fate as when Israel gave this a whirl at the foot of Sinai. There, too, the calf was smashed to bits and ground up. Some God, eh? You remember how this scorn plays huge in Isaiah, where he goes on and on about the follies of this whole idolatrous endeavor. St. Jerome renders at the end there, not broken to pieces, but turned to spiders' webs. He comments, "Finally, as the filaments of spiders are dissolved into the wind, so the calf of Samaria will be reduced to nothing." God casts off the calves of the heretics and of Samaria, who say that they observe the precepts of the law, who hold fast to the calf of clay and work in the realm of the earth, not of the spirit, and do not raise their eyes to the heavens. That's where we're going to have to stop for today, people loved by God. But next time we finish up chapter 8, where we read more of Ephraim's disregard of Yahweh's commands and the consequences of her persistent revolt are laid bare for them. It is a dangerous thing to forget one's maker. And he includes a side word of warning yet again to Judah. She is not going to escape this judgment either, since she participates in her own revolt against Yahweh. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. For any size gift before Easter Sunday, we'll send you Pastor Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.